fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Friday. It is Friday, the 30th day of June, last day of the month, year of our Lord 2023. Welcome to John Moore Show. Yes, we do begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Here we go. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hats, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The proper tip today is to work on your physical fitness. It'll be different things for different people. Everybody's got limitations, whether you're a 20-year-old Marine or a 80-year-old grandfather, grandmother. Just understand those limitations, work within them, and respect them. If you're starting a new exercise program and you have some underlying health concerns, be sure and talk to a health care professional before you do something that could hurt you. Seriously, that's what you need to be doing. All right. We're hoping that Tom Berryhill will call in. Once he does, we will bring Tom on to discuss emergency communications, ham radio-related topics, and, of course, the call number is 512-248-8252. I associate with men and women who are really bright in their chosen areas of expertise. And when two people who don't know each other that I respect in that regard both recommend the same book, well, I tend to want to go ahead and get it. I just ordered a copy of Dr. Mary's Monkey a few minutes ago, recommended by Marie Lassiter. She'll be with us the third hour today, and also recommended by Dr. Huff. Let's see. And it looks like Tom's here. Before we get to Tom, I'll tell you a bit more about this book. Here we go. The author is Ed Haslam, H-A-S-L-A-M, available at Amazon. The Kindle version is $11.50. Audio version, if you have an Audible membership, is no charge. The paperback, which I bought, is $18. Hardcover is a little more expensive. So, anyway, that's the That's the book, and I'll be getting that one day next week, and I'll read that from cover to cover. All right, we have patient waiting in the green room, my friend Tom Burial. Tom began a quest more than half a century ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with ham radio, emergency communications, and electronics in general. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, John. Another hot day here.
Triple digits. Be 101 in my neighborhood. How about you?
Yes, and it was that way yesterday. It was brutal.
Right. Overnight low in the high 70s, so it really didn't cool off all that much. But thank goodness for two things, electricity and air conditioning, right?
That's right. That's true.
Very true. Well, we talked about this a bit yesterday, but it wouldn't hurt to repeat ourselves. Ways to survive this. First of all, if you're fortunate enough to have air conditioning and you have neighbors who either can't afford to turn it on, and this what happens a lot of times, an older person or a couple, they'll have air conditioning, but they refuse to turn it on because they feel like they can't afford the utility bill. And they also probably, especially they live in a city, don't open the windows for fear of crime. So the interior of that home just builds up hotter and hotter with no breeze, and they can get heat prostration and die. So if you know somebody like that, be sure and check with them once or twice a day, maybe once in the morning and a second time, maybe mid-afternoon. Typically, the highest temperature of the day is around 4 to 5 p.m. And just check on them, make sure they're okay. If they're in distress, if they seem to be disoriented, if they're not responding properly to the heat, which means sweating. Once you stop sweating, you know you're in real trouble, don't you, Tom?
Yes, sir. That's when it's almost too late. So
yeah, it's. I had this happen to me. I was. This would have been. Late 1980s. I was on a surveillance operation in the woods, camouflage head to toe. My head covered up, wearing camouflage gloves, carrying a backpack full of several thousand dollars worth of video equipment. And I was sweating profusely. It was a day like today. And I'm on my assignment, moving through the bush quietly, silently. And all of a sudden, the sweat stopped, and I felt cool. And that's the moment I knew I was in trouble. I knew it was time for me to call it a day, stop what I was doing, call off the assignment. I immediately sat down, removed my head covering, removed my gloves, unbuttoned my shirt, took a drink of water, and just sat there until I felt somewhat normal again, Tom. And then once I did, it took maybe 20, 30 minutes to do that. Then I just walked back to my vehicle and called it a day. But that was the beginning of what could have been heat prostration and possibly passing out, wasn't it?
Yeah, you were right on the edge there, John. You know, I mentioned yesterday on your show about working with glass blowing equipment, and you go, you know, I told you what I learned from the big time professionals. They have those big furnaces. When they open the door to that furnace, you can feel the heat off of that thing from many feet away, 15, 20 feet away. You can feel the infrared radiation coming out of there, but those guys get so overheated. Some old-timers in that, they opened the refrigerator, and they said, here's what we do. We drink some of this pickle juice. Of all things, they said that will get you hydrated again almost immediately, within a minute or two. And they all do that.
That's an amazing.
I found it amazing. I talked to another place, and they said the same thing. So when I'm working with any really hot situations like that, sometimes some welding and things, I'll take a sip of the pickle juice. It seems to help.
Absolutely. Well, if it works, it works. That's the bottom line. And the call number is 512-248-8252. Well, Tom, I inadvertently left one of my dozen or 20, I don't know how many radios I got, probably 20 or more, in a trunk of one of my town cars. And I pulled it out the other day. It had been in there months. And I haven't tested it yet, but I think there's a high likelihood that the extreme temperatures in the trunk of the town car may have damaged this thing. What do you think?
Motorola type radio?
It's a Kato. AM/FM shortwave.
I don't think it would hurt it. It may. I don't think so, John. Just turn it on and see what happens. The worst you can do is it just doesn't work.
Right. Well, I haven't done it yet. I've been busy on other projects, but it's not a good idea to store electronics in extreme temperatures. I don't believe, is it?
Yes, yeah, that's true. And if you look at the specifications on many pieces of equipment, all types of electronic equipment, many times they'll specify right in those on the spec pages the operating temperatures that the equipment's designed to perform with, and storage temperatures. The storage temperatures will exceed the operating temperature, extreme highs and extreme lows. But many times you can't operate the equipment till it comes back to room temperature and gets within the operating specs. But the storage temperature ranges are extended way over and under the operating temperature. So I don't think you've heard the thing. I think you'll be...
Well, actually, as we're talking, this is a hand crank. I'm turning the hand crank as we speak, and it looks like it's all lit up. The flashlight's working. The digital display is working. The time and temperature is working. So it looks like it's in pretty good condition here, despite having been stored in a trunk of a car for half a year or more.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. The components that take the beating are the capacitors, the electrolytic capacitors. That could possibly make them age faster and they'll go out. And that's usually what happens with electronic equipment. The capacitors go bad. And you can take many pieces of equipment, replace those capacitors, and bring it back to life. Everything else works fine. It's not going to hurt the transistors, the chips, because their operating temperature ranges are quite a bit higher, and they have to be because of the soldering temperatures and things like that. But even then, the soldering temperatures, you can get over 500 degrees Fahrenheit for maybe a minute or two and never exceed the specifications for that part. But you can't operate them at that temperature forever. Well, first of all, the solder would become molten. The things would be floating around.
Right.
Full of solder. But the parts can withstand those temperatures for a short period of time.
Right. Well, I just verified it while you were speaking there, Tom. I did manage to receive some radio signals, so it looks like the radio is working fine.
Yeah, I think you'll be fine with that.
Yeah, it looks good. When we received notice of what's going on with the possible attack on the NATO headquarters, I went ahead and pulled out most of my AM/FM shortwave, longwave receivers, and I have looks like I got about six of them right here by me at the moment. And I think that's all of them. I'm not sure. Do you have any idea how many radios you own, Tom, offhand? Is it 100, 200? What is it?
Oh, I don't think it's that many, but I do have. I have quite a few, but just a few that I use. Well, I bought another one yesterday, John. I bought an older Hammerlin receiver. It's a tube type, and I like having those around, and they're easy to work on. You can bring them back to life if they're having troubles. That type of equipment is much easier to work on than some of this newer solid state stuff because you can, the parts are specific to that equipment. They're programmed, and you can't get the equipment to reprogram. It's difficult to work on some of this very modern equipment. Although it's very reliable, works great, you're in trouble if you don't have the factory programming systems and all that for the and a supply of the spare parts. The processor chips and all that are the most critical parts that's in there. And I kind of like some of the older stuff that has tubes for general purpose use. For other applications, you have to have the modern stuff. Just depends on what you're doing. But Yeah, I like the stuff I can work on and bring back to life if there's any problems. And if you have the schematics, you don't even really need too much more than a schematic to figure out what you need to do and what you need to test.
That's right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get started and really understand and become a true prepper, I don't consider a man or a woman a serious prepper unless they have a ham radio license. And here's how you get started. Go to the ARRL.org. That's Alpha Romeo Romeo Lima.org website. Everything you need to get started is right there, including locating the nearest ham radio club to where you might live. There's a little search box where you can put your zip code in. There may be one or two or three in somewhat nearby, depending on where you are. If you're in Montana, it might be a long distance. If you're in a city, it could be four or five, not far from you. Becoming part of a ham radio club is a great way to steepen the learning curve and find out what you need to find out as fast as possible, isn't it, Tom?
It is. It's a good way to start. There's a lot of like-minded people there, and if you're interested in being involved in preparation, well, most of those people are on the same page. So it's a good resource.
It is, absolutely. So that's how to do it. Now, field day was last weekend, wasn't it?
Last weekend of June. Unfortunately, I missed it because I was busy. I'm working like 7 days a week now for a while, and I think until the end of this next month, by the end of July, I should be over the hump on that, and I can, back off a little bit. But right now, it's every single day.
All right. Well, we promoted Field Day several times, and hopefully some of our listeners were able to participate in Field Day and be able to meet some ham radio people. And another advantage of affiliating with a ham radio club is 9 out of 10 men and women in a ham radio club are preppers, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And they're, like I said, they're on the same page, and you can discuss your prepper activities along with setting up your communications equipment, and you'll find out that a lot of these people have some rather advanced systems. It's amazing what some of them are doing as far as preparation and communications goes.
All right. This past weekend, there was 40,000 transmitting stations set up all over the United States. 40 throughout, not just the United States, but Canada and Mexico also. 40,000 locations set up to transmit, typically from a park, a public area, where they had to provide their own electricity, their own shelter, to simulate emergency conditions for 24 hours. Right, Tom?
Yes, that's how it works. It's a contest, and they keep log books. The number of contacts you make is important. Most of these stations had multiple operators. They had several stations on the air all right next to each other, which can sometimes cause problems just by doing that. But they had it all worked out, and multi-operator stations and battery power supplies, generators, solar panels, just everything that you would use in an emergency situation. So it was a simulated emergency test for communications, but it's also a contest and a social event. It's the biggest one of the year.
It says here, learn how to operate in abnormal situations in less than optimal conditions. So, it'll be another year. It'll be the last weekend of June 2024 before there's another Field Day. Here's our break. Right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Home is where the hearth is. In days gone by, the hearth was the center of the home, a social place where the family would come together to spend time and cook. The warmth of the Liberator rocket stove makes a house feel like a home. So, welcome home. 100% American-made, the Liberator rocket stove heats for a fraction of the cost of other methods. Your home can be safely heated with firewood or wood pellets. The Liberator rocket heater is waiting to be part of your home. This unit ships directly to your door, or you can save $300 with a factory pickup. To order, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Okay. Let it run.
John!
Okay, now we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 30th day of June. Tom, we get emails, and sometimes they just get to me. I forward them to you. Men and women who become ham radio operators, they forward photographs of their ham shack, their towers, their antennas, and they're just happy as can be that they learned about ham radio, they become active in it, and they got the equipment. As hobbies go, it's one of the less expensive hobbies there is compared to other things that people get involved with, boats, airplanes, motorcycles, and so forth. It's a fairly inexpensive hobby and a lot of fun, isn't it?
It is. It's quite an education, too. It can be very expensive if you want to get some of the ultra-modern digital-type equipment that allows for digital communications. That can be expensive, but you can start out with used equipment, buy some older stuff that's with the basic needs for communications, and that does not cost you that much. I think for just $200 or $300, you shopped around, you'd be able to find everything you need to get started.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, another benefit of becoming affiliated with a ham radio club is high-quality used equipment is bought and sold, traded back and forth at very reasonable prices all the time. That's just routine with these clubs, isn't it?
Yeah, that happens all the time. And then there's also the Ham Fest this during the summer months. This is the time for that. There's a lot of Ham Fest. Sometimes you have to travel a ways to get to one. Sometimes
well,
they're in your local
people don't know what a Ham Fest is. Tell people what a Ham Fest is, Tom.
It's a flea market for ham radio operators, and that's all it really is. And there you'll find all kinds of junk as well as some really nice stuff. And many of the ham radio suppliers will be there with brand new equipment on display. At some of the larger ham fests, you'll see those people there, and they'll have a booth set up and with the most modern equipment that's available, and they'll have the stuff in the boxes so that you can buy it right there on the spot, all the way down to just junk that shouldn't have even been dragged in there. And many times these guys will bring some of this garbage, scrapped out military radios, all kinds of stuff, and they don't even want to haul it back. When the Ham Fest is over, they just leave it there and drive away. So if you wait till the very end of the Ham Fest, you need some spare parts and things, you can dig around over the leftovers, and there might be something for you there, and you just pick it up and take it home.
Well, I wasn't aware that's what takes place, but if it does, it does, and that could be a benefit for some people. You'd have to be able to recognize and determine what's junk and what's usable, wouldn't you?
That's right. And if you're looking for certain items, you may just find exactly what you're after that somebody will just let you have. And one time I was at a ham fest many years ago, and there was it was a little test set type of thing that I was interested in for Motorola radios, and the guy had it, and nobody was buying it. I don't remember what he wanted for it. And finally, he said, "Make me an offer that I can't refuse, and it's yours." And I said, "$0.25." He says, "Sold." I was kidding with the guy, but he took my quarter, and I took the test set, and it worked great. Still have it. It's dated. It's outdated, actually. It's a nice
Well, that reminds me of something unrelated to ham radio, but when it comes to saving money. This time of year, there's farmers markets open all over the country. Typically, they're weekend events. Of course, Soulard Market in St. Louis has been open for just about 200 years, close to it. But if you want the bargains, you go to the farmers market 1 hour before they close. Yes, everything's going to be picked over. What's left may or may not look the best, but it'll still be edible. And these vendors, they don't want to pack that stuff up and take it home. So if you want the deep, deep discounts at a farmer's market, you get there 1 hour before they close or 30 minutes before they close, and stuff will be really cheap, or just make an offer, and you can come away with some real bargains, can't you, Tom?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, farmer's markets are like that, and they don't want to haul the stuff back, so just make a crazy low offer and see what happens. Many times you'll end up buying it for exactly what you wanted to pay.
That's right. That's right. Another advantage of ham radio hobby is for home schoolers. There's kits available for children from kindergarten on up to where they can start with very simple radio kits that are $10 or less, all the way up to building complete computers, aren't there, Tom?
Yeah, there's everything out there, just like you said, and these are a good way to educate younger people on how to solder, put these parts together, follow the instructions. It's usually pretty simple, and they learn mechanical skills along the way. When they're finished with it, they have a working device that they can use for further education. It's a great way for homeschoolers, especially, to learn this type of stuff.
Absolutely, it is. As I like to mention, most children toys are small-scale versions where children pretend to do what adults do with ham radio. They aren't pretending, they're doing the real thing. Here's our break. Call number is 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on a frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Then I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand, live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. I'll be speaking at the next Red Pill Expo in Des Moines, Iowa, the second weekend of August, August 12th and 13th. It'll be a great event, a lot of great speakers. It's put on by G. Edward Griffin. The details are at my website, tickets available at my website at thelibertyman.com. If you would like a beautiful one-room log cabin like Davy Crockett had 200 years ago, or a 6,000-square-foot log lodge similar to the one featured in the TV series Yellowstone, or anything in between, the guys I work with will help you. They will build a kit to your architect's specifications, deliver it to your job site for your construction crew to build the beautiful home that you've always wanted. Just contact me. We'll get that going for you. I was having lunch with the CEO of Liberated Rocket Heaters earlier this week. We have Liberated Rocket Heaters in stock, ready for immediate shipment. Yes, I know it's 101 degrees today at my home, and probably hot where you are. Regardless, in 5 or 6 months, it'll be cold again. And the time to get ready for next winter, especially if you're going to have your rocket heater installed by a carpenter, these guys are really busy. You might want to go ahead and get that ordered, get it in, get it done. Last but not least, thanks to Tom Berryhill, I have energy cleaners in stock, ready for immediate shipment, mattress pads the same way. If you're tired of being tired, you need an energy cleaner. If arthritis pain has you down, you need an energy cleaner. Details at my website. You can place your order right there using PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. Send me a check. My address is there. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. And yes, the toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. Tom, we got a caller and holder, a regular caller. We got Mike in Kentucky. Good morning, Mike. Mike in Kentucky, you're on the air. Hello, Mike. Hello, Mike. Okay, we looks like Mike is not able to be with us right this moment. Maybe he'll call back. Well, Tom, getting back to homeschoolers, I'm not aware of very many good things that came out of the make-believe pandemic. But one of the things that was positive was the most dramatic increase in homeschooling since that whole effort began, wasn't it, Tom?
Yes, it was. And I even saw an article in our local paper here that after the so-called pandemic was over, there were a lot of students who just never came back to the school district. They're right. Just gone. And right. So those families are homeschooling. They found out how it worked for them. It worked really good. And they said, but we're going to keep doing this. And they did.
Well, as the old saying goes, necessity is the mother of invention, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Absolutely. I know as a young man driving my first automobile, my first Triumph, my Triumph TR3, I had to be quite innovative because I didn't have the money to just pay a mechanic. So I had to become a mechanic, self-taught, so to speak. And there was a lot of times I would do things that weren't in the book. For example, while the parts house where I got parts was a one-hour drive one way, so I just couldn't run up there anytime I wanted. So my ignition switch was broken, and I substituted. I went to my dad's workshop, and I took a 110 outlet and I wired it into the ignition system and a plug from a lamp and wired the two contacts together so that they would make continuous contact, and that became my key. So when I wanted to start the car, I would plug in the plug, push the starter button, had a separate starter button, and the car would start and run. And when I got to my destination, I would simply unplug the plug and put it in my pocket. And I drove it like that for a week, maybe 2 weeks, as an innovative way to keep the car running. Looks like Mike from Kentucky is back. Good morning, Mike.
Oh, okay. I was, I don't know what happened earlier, but it was kind of weird because it jumped like a second or two, and I heard part of Dixie, and I heard you repeat something, so I don't know what happened.
Okay.
Anyway, there used to be a Keith, maybe Rogers, on frequency show. I think it was on Sunday night. I can't remember his name. It was Keith something. But anyway, he talked about digital ham, and of course I had read about slow scan TV, and there's some of these guys doing amateur TV transmitters, I guess over some number of distances. I don't know if there's still a frequency up there in that. It was, I think, in the kind of in the block down converter frequency of what do you call it, C-band.
Right.
But with all this cell phone stuff, that they're just, I mean, the FCC is totally captured by the cell phone industry. Is none of the ham frequencies have yet been affected by that, right? As far as Tom? Losing any spectrum? Does anybody
no,
know?
No, they haven't. There's a lot of interest in ham television, and I know some longtime ham buddies that are doing that very thing, and they actually put up repeaters that are ATV. Television repeaters, have quite a wide range, of coverage with these systems, and everybody.
Well,
has
I've heard of guys using it. I don't know how legal it is, but they'll use like a directional circular polarized 10-foot long antenna on each end or something, and they can transmit that amateur TV, 70 miles or something wacky for whatever. I mean, security cameras. I mean, anything that's like non-commercial amateur, I guess you can do. But what Keith Rogers was saying, even out in Montana where he was at, he was having trouble with the digital stuff being interfered with. And I don't know how much Part 15 applies to ham radio stuff, but I've noticed this with digital television too, is because it's they're trying to roll out a new version of digital television, which is a ODFM, octagonal frequency modulation or something. But the current format is AM, and so any little static, like a toy train, a cake mixer, a blender, the teenager's car, with the old style points and plugs or noisy ignition, just it locks it up. And I used to listen to shortwave a lot more, and you would hear stuff like that, just random, bacon sizzling type sounds. Is there still a whole lot of what you might say, political and or entertainment programming on shortwave other than like Mexican or foreign language stuff? Radio Free Cuba. I mean, I used to hear all kinds of foreign language stuff.
A lot of the shortwave broadcasting has gone by the wayside because of the internet, and I think the future of broadcasting is online. It's not terrestrial radio and television stations. I think those days are not going to go away right now. But
they're targeting
in the coming decade.
They're targeting AM for elimination. They're trying to get rid of any way that you can take entertainment or, quote, programming into your brain without it being tracked. So ham radio is one way. If you're long as they don't have a dang smart device or within earshot of your ham radio shack, you could actually talk and have a conversation, and it ain't being necessarily slurped by the powers that be or what they call XT score. But obviously, your voice print, unless there's a lot of interference, they might could figure out who you are from your voice recognition if it can cut through the static. But the ham field day that I was at probably, 20 years ago, I just wonder, is there any noise reduction or that cuts through all the chatter? Because I couldn't hear the guys. The guy had me running his base station for a while, and he come up to me and said, "You can't hear them calling you. It's just because there's so many signals over top of each other." And I'd be like, "No." and a field day, I guess it can be pretty chattery, pretty crowded. So I just wasn't able to hear.
It really is, and with a lot of the stations, they have filters on the radios. Bandpass filters where you can narrow it right in to a very narrow range, and the adjacent stations on adjacent frequencies and all that, they just kind of fall by the wayside. The modern equipment is really good as far as that goes, because those radio bands get pretty crowded during these field day type of activities. Usually the contests and all that always happen on a weekend. And
yeah. This one was on a weekend,
it's amazing.
They did a temporary tower tied up with rope, about a 40-foot round 25G tower tied up with nylon rope. And, it was meant to be, a field day setup, in the middle of the field. And so they took pictures of it, posted it on the internet. And this, the CQ stuff, I couldn't hardly, other than that, that's about all I could make out was CQ, and then they'd say something else, and I'd be like, I don't know what they're saying, So it was really tough that day, but I never have went to more than one. That was the only field day I was ever at. And
the the easiest, the best contacts on field day are the Morse code or the CW contacts, because it's pretty fast, and you can tighten the filters on the radios to avoid the adjacent channel interference, and the contacts go very quickly. And the voice modes
are... I heard code going so fast, it was crazy. And you're like, how does anybody hear that to read it, you know?
You know,
I guess after a while.
That's all I've ever done since I was a kid. And to me, it's I don't hear dots and dashes or little beeps. I just hear somebody talking. It's just another language.
Phrase. Kind of like in The Matrix where Neo says he sees the code or something.
Yeah.
You just, but the phrases, I guess, is what eventually you hear. You hear words and phrases. You don't just hear the end, like you say,
well,
the dots
really
and dashes.
And on Morse code, the faster you send, you're not really looking for individual dots and dashes. Everything just kind of runs together, but you start understanding the phrases and the individual words. In fact, you can almost predict what the next word's going to be. And if you hear the first letter or so, or first part of a letter even, you can almost write down what that other station is going to be sending you. And even if you miss a little bit here and there, you can put it together pretty quick. It's amazing how
they'll be able to tell by your reply that you made sense of what they said, I guess.
that's true.
Your reply. They were like, no, you didn't read me right. You're talking about plants, and I'm talking about a power plant, you know, or something.
Right.
But, what I've run across is that the stupid Part 15, I think, needs to be reevaluated now because of all the change-up in communications that's going on. And they try to apply Part 15 to any kind of interference, even when it's not radio frequency interference, if you get what I'm getting at.
The biggest problem nowadays on anything that's AM or amplitude modulated, which will pick up noise a lot easier than any kind of an FM radio, are these switching power supplies, the noise sources that are all through a building. You plug those little transformer things in the wall to power a device. Many of those things are the interference generators. And there's an entire industry where you can call a company in and they'll go through your facility, your building, your home, whatever, and they will identify all those different sources of interference. And it can cause quite a bit.
I was going to say, and there must be a lag time here. So, power companies are so powerful. I think you can't do nothing with them. They're like the telephone industry. They're so big, they don't really care. I mean, unless you got 70,000 letters going to the Public Service Commission, they don't pay much attention to you. But before analog television shut down, especially in channels like 2 through 10. There was times when I saw multiple layers of different tracer bullets from different sources into the, especially the channel 2 through 6, and they've all been eliminated that now. They've compressed one-way antenna television down, basically, is being compressed into the, around channel 7 through 13 is still usable, but 14 through about 30 is all they've got left for that. And they're trying to push this 3.0, which will allow them to encrypt and charge like wireless cable, even for major networks. They're already starting that in big major markets like Houston or whatever. But what I'm getting at is your average plain old telephone now, for probably, I don't even know, over 25 years. And I actually complained to the FCC about it. And they tried to say, well, it's Part 15. It has to accept any interference. Well, that would... Part 15 would cover radio frequency interference, but not when you're talking about the room audio from a phone counties and dozens of miles away from different phone companies locking up your software and your fax machine or your phone line to where you can't even dial 911. And the FCC just blows my complaints off about that, but that I think it's a glitch in their surveillance network software that they gave to Israel, and then it got sold back under Boeing and Verizon under the Naris and Verint brands. And I saw William Binney talk about that and admit that they basically just gave Israel the software. They turned around and sold it back to the U.S. Now, that's unregistered foreign aid if I've ever heard it. But this glitch, the code that they, computer code, I think it probably has something to do with noise because they split it off too many times, and then you get noise in the signal, and it messes up the forward error correction, the FEC. That's my theory. And after talking to numerous whistleblowers.
hold on, Mike. We're up with this discussion after the break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBNReaders2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBNReaders2023. At antelopehillpublishing.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
The U.S. Marines preparing to take over the government of Morocco in 1904. Okay, Mike, you got interrupted by the break. Go ahead, and we got about 3 minutes to wrap up your comments, sir.
Well, I was just going to say, if you've never seen the Truman Show, basically everybody's on the air unaware. It's hard to maintain situational awareness because everybody then will want to think about it, about how everything you do that can be tied to you with these devices is going across the network, and it creates, I think, overload. So there was a guy that called me with his whiz-bang 5G phone in traffic in Houston, and they've got these all-electric buses. And he got within two car lengths of that bus, and his phone just started chopping up. And I said, I hope you're not paying too much for that phone, Joe, because your 5G phone sucks. And he realized what it was. And he'd already encountered it, I guess, several times. The electromagnetic field from an electric bus just totally killed his phone. And so Ford is the only one, I think, that's leaving AM radios in their trucks this year because of customer demand. You know, a lot of truck drivers are out in rural areas, and they're still listening to out-of-market, one-way AM radio, and it's not been completely taken over by foreigners yet. But especially in Texas, there's a lot of these stations that are totally taken over by Korean and foreign language programming. The only thing you hear at the top of the hour is a Morse code ID, or it'll actually tell you it's KFOIR, the Fire of Texas or something. You know, the Torch of Texas. You'll hear their little logo, and then it goes right back to Korean. And so they're trying to get rid of AM, just like they got rid of shortwave radio out of the home radios, because I think they want to control everything that goes in and out of our brains and track it.
Tom, you got any response to Mike's comments
here?
Well, he's right about a lot of foreign language broadcasts on the AM band. You hear a lot of that, a lot of Mexican, you know, Spanish language broadcasts. But the at the top of the hour, a broadcast station will always identify with their FCC-assigned call letters, and they might mention several cities that they cover, but the first city they always mention at the top of the hour will be there's what's called the City of License, and that's where the studio is located, and it's always within 25 airline miles of the transmitter site. So they'll mention the City of License, and that gives you a pretty good idea of exactly where they're located.
And, I think they've dropped that. They dropped that requirement for a studio.
They're changing everything. They're changing everything.
Yeah,
a friend of mine owns several... A friend of mine owns several broadcast stations, and he got a massive fine. He was one of the earliest in the nation to control a broadcast station by an internet connection. And he got in a lot of trouble for that. Now it's commonly done, and it's allowed.
Oh, out of time.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you. Tom, thank you. Mike, we got a top hour break. We'll be back with Open Lines.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show.
Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.